First reading comes from Mark chapter 1, verses 29 to 39. And you can find it in the Pew Bibles on page 813. Verse 29. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening, at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak, because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring town, so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. The second reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. On page 931. If I proclaim the gospel, this gives me no ground for boasting, for an obligation is laid on me, and woe to me if I do not proclaim the gospel. For if I do this of my own will, I have a reward, but if not of my own will, I am entrusted with a commission. What then is my reward? Just this, that in my proclamation I may make the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my rights in the gospel. For though I am free with respect to all, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew, in order to win Jews. To those under the law I came as one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, so that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that I might by all means save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, so that I may share in its blessings. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
And in response to those readings, I've entitled the message this morning, Hope and Healing for Everyone. The Gospel of Mark was the first account to be written of the life of Jesus. Both Matthew and Luke used Mark's Gospel to record their version of events in describing the origin and the purpose of Jesus' ministry. From this morning's reading, we hear an account of the first miraculous healing that Jesus performed, the restoration to wholeness of Peter's mother-in-law. So, Jesus and his disciples, namely Peter, Andrew, James, and John, leave the synagogue where Jesus has just spoken with great authority. Those gathered were amazed at Jesus' teaching. And so they leave the synagogue and they walk just several hundred metres from the synagogue to Peter's home. In response to hearing that Peter's mother-in-law is not well, suffering from a fever, Jesus immediately goes to her. Firstly, he takes her by the hand. This expression and physical gesture of touch was a significant symbol of a healer in the ancient world. Jesus reached out to her, and taking her by the hand, he assisted her to stand up. Straight away, the fever departed from her body. And so complete and immediate was her healing that she began to wait on those gathered in the home, offering hospitality and serving them. One of the features of Mark's writing in recording this event and many others event that he records is what is to follow is how quickly and completely events take place. Mark's gospel is a gospel of action. It happens now. happens straight away. His use of the word immediately and the description of the woman being totally healed are evidence of this. And this becomes more evident in what happens next. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at his door. And Jesus healed many who had various diseases. You see, at sunset, the Sabbath is officially over. And people are free to move around without restrictions on how far they can travel. According to Mark, they bring all of the sick and demon-possessed. Was the whole town really there? Or were there so many people gathered that it seemed as if every person from the community was present? Well into the night, and perhaps the early hours of the morning, Jesus brought healing to the lives of many people. He brought about a restoration of wholeness in the lives of those whom he healed. He brought about physical healing for some, emotional healing for others, and spiritual healing to those from whom he cast out demons, spirits of oppression that held their hosts captive. Jesus brought healing and hope to this town of Capernaum, nestled on the northern shoreline of the Sea of Galilee. In the morning, however, he was nowhere to be found. He had taken himself to an isolated place to pray. And on five occasions, Mark records that Jesus goes to a lonely or an isolated place to draw aside from the busyness of ministry and life, just to be present with God, his Heavenly Father, and to pray. And when his disciples found him, they declared that everyone was looking for him. Word had spread far and wide, and those who had not yet encountered Jesus and received healing from him are seeking him out. Overnight, word had spread about all that Jesus had done for those who had gathered at Peter's house that previous evening. And there were some who were coming who were genuinely in need of healing. And I'm sure many others who were coming to see the great spectacle of Jesus doing the miraculous. But Jesus' plan was not to remain in one place. He explained to his followers that it was his mission to visit the other villages in the region and to bring hope and healing to these other communities too. Jesus preached a message of hope, that God's kingdom was near and that healing was available to those who believed. These were hallmarks of Jesus' ministry, teaching and healing. And in the 21st century in which we live, the message of hope that is to be found in Jesus Christ is as real today as it was 2,000 years ago in that rough and tumble town of Capernaum. Furthermore, the healing power of Jesus is still available to those who approach him in faith and hope. This power to bring healing is exercised by the Spirit of Christ. We have seen and experienced ourselves in the remarkable healing that has occurred within the life of our church family. Many individuals who belong to this church can proclaim the healing of God's hand upon them. Physical healing, emotional healing, spiritual healing, restoration to wholeness. And yet we know that for reasons beyond our understanding, not every person is healed in the manner that we would hope for. For some, healing has come in being released from the pain and struggle of this earthly life. The Apostle Paul, who came to faith in Jesus Christ during his adult life, was a well-known persecutor of the early Christian community. However, when he encountered the risen Christ in a life-transforming way, in a moment on the road to Damascus, he became as passionate and fervent for the gospel as he had been in opposition to it. Paul was so inspired by God to proclaim the hope and healing of Christ to others, especially the nations of the Gentiles, that he sacrificed everything in order to achieve this. So let us return to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, read to us just a moment ago. We read these words, "For when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, since I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel," Paul writes. "If I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I am simply discharging the trust committed to me. What then is my reward? Just this, that in preaching the gospel, I may offer it free of charge, and so not make full use of my rights as a preacher of the gospel." You see, Paul recognises his privilege and his obligation under the authority of Christ to proclaim the good news that Jesus himself taught during his time on earth, to proclaim God's love, hope and healing to all people became Paul's sole purpose in life. And Paul goes on to offer a remarkable description of his life sacrifice in order to connect with people so that he may have the opportunity to minister with and to them. "Though I am free and belong to no one," Paul writes, "I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. For Paul, bringing salvation to the lost was his driving force. Helping people to experience a life-transforming encounter with Christ through his preaching and teaching of the gospel truths. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews." Paul, in fact, was Jewish. He grew up learning the Jewish law and now understood the constraints of the law for those who would seek freedom from the law in order to experience the grace of God. And Paul continues, "To those who are under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak I became weak, to win the weak." This may have been the greatest challenge of Paul because of his strength of character, his strength of conviction, his physical and emotional strength to stand in the public spaces of great cities and proclaim the gospel of Christ in the face of strong opposition and ridicule. Paul developed this amazing God-given ability to relate to people from all walks of life, to build rapport and establish a relationship of trust, that people may stand still long enough to listen to what he has to say, that those who became curious enough about his message would invite him to their home and learn more. "I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some," Paul writes. "I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings." This is one of the most powerful and enlightening statements that Paul writes about himself anywhere in his letters. I find this incredibly challenging, and I share this challenge with you this morning. Have we, and are we, pulling out all stops so that by all possible means we may share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others, in order that we may be able to invite at least some into a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ? We bear the good news of hope and healing for all people, knowing that some will respond in faith and receive the gift that we offer. However, we must first experience this hope and healing for ourselves. We cannot share what we do not have. We have a hope that is it, that in this life God has forgiven us of every mistake and willful sin. God invites us into a fullness of life which is characterized by love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness and humility and self-control. In this life, God has gifted us with opportunities to share his love and hope with others, both in word and in action. In this life, God has given us the authority to pray for the healing of others that they may experience wholeness in body, mind, and spirit. In this life, we are blessed by being obedient and faithful to the call of being disciples of Jesus Christ. In the life to come, we experience the hope of release from pain and suffering, sadness and disaster, and to enter into the glorious presence of God and an eternal joy restored with our loved ones who have gone before us in the faith. So I invite you again today to recommit yourself to the ministry of hope and healing that Christ has called you to. And I challenge you to identify one aspect of your life that God is prompting you to change in order that you may be more effective and obedient to the call of Christ in bearing witness to the hope and healing presence of Jesus. What is that one aspect of your life that God is nudging you or confronting you with that you know needs to be different? Is it about your attitude to a certain person or certain people? Perhaps there's a judgmental dimension to who you believe is worthy of sharing God's love with and those who are not. Perhaps God is inviting you more deeply into his presence and you've sensed that call but you've resisted. You're too busy. You want to spend time doing other things. It just hasn't been a priority. What is it that God's challenging you to today? One thing that you would change to be more effective as witnesses and bearers of the gospel of Christ. I encourage you to receive all that God has for you and then share it generously with others. In the name and to the glory of Christ. Amen.